Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another therapy session of Booker T. Washington Speaks on this Saturday, September 23rd, 2017. My name is Haleem Mustafa, your co-host, supporting our host and moderator, Professor Marshall Cavendish Washington Abui, who is the great-grandson, the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, founder of the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, a very notable historic black college. The professor, as I mentioned, is a senior great-grandson of his great-grandfather, and so he is the bloodline that is continuing the legacy of things that are very important to the idea of freedom for black people. So we invite you to kick off your shoes, relax, enjoy a refreshing non-alcoholic drink as we sit around the family room, our virtual family room, to have a discussion. Now, tonight's discussion is very much a serious topic we all should definitely pay attention to. And I wanted to say the topic is, it's a two-part question. What is the birth control implant doing to young African-American women? Question mark. Second segment is, what is its potential danger to the African-American community? Now, before we actually begin, I want to open in prayer, and please join me, if you will, in silence or in whatever method that you pray to the creator of the heavens and the universe. And I'm going to say this in Arabic and English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alaihim. Gairu mahdubi alahin waladolin. Amin. And I'm going to say in English, it says, I seek refuge with God away from the accursed devil Satan. With the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to God, cherish and sustain the worlds. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment, thee alone do we worship, and thy aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way on those who live and still grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Amen. Let it be so. Again, I am Haleem Mustafa, and I am the co-host here to our host and moderator, Dr. I call him Professor Marshall Washington Cavendish Abui, and sequentially I was off there, but it's the same. It's his name, his family name, and so he actually has this great vision that we are supporting him in, and the topic is what I read earlier, and I'll say that again before I turn it over to our host and moderator. And the topic is, what is the birth control implant doing to young African-American women? And the second part is, what is this potential danger to the African-American community? So without further ado, I'd like to get this show on the road here. And enjoy the day. And here he is, Professor. Oh, we have a little bit of...
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I want to thank you, Brother Haleem Mustafa, the Doctor of Self-Esteem, the Dream Builder, and the what I call the Youth Developer. And I think that's critical because our topic this evening is going to focus on our African-American young women. And we know that you have quite a bit of experience encouraging and motivating and guiding young people. And we're looking forward to comments from you because of your extensive background over the last 40-some years working with young people. What we want to do is actually discuss the topic, which Brother Haleem has announced. We'll just reiterate it. What is the birth control implant doing to young African-American women? And what is its potential danger to the African-American community? And we actually have expanded on that because we also want to know if this is not a plan for female sterilization, black female sterilization, genocide, and infanticide. Now, genocide is the killing off of a population of people in general, and infanticide is killing off children, killing off babies in particular, whether they're born or unborn babies. All of that is covered by the term infanticide. And then also we're looking at the issue of the sterilization of our women. And I remember back in the 1970s, around the same time that the Black Panther movement was gaining steam, the Intelligence Department of the United States government, under the leadership of J. Edgar Hoover, the infamous anti-Martin Luther King, anti-Black freedom leader of the FBI, who was also the head at that time of the Internal Security Intelligence Program, was talking about things that led to the question of sterilizing Black women. Well, Black women resisted this. When they were given the opportunity to continue on welfare under the old welfare program, where women could collect welfare as long as they had a child 18 years or under, or at least under 18 years, they would be able to get paid. Now, under Bill Clinton, part of the deal apparently that he made with the Republican Party to stay in office after he was impeached for perjury, he agreed to get rid of that program, and the program that replaced it was a program which was much more stringent, where a woman could only draw welfare if she had a child under 2 years old in the home. Well, that just encouraged some women to keep having new babies every other year. And oftentimes, unfortunately, from various different men. And so around that whole time frame, our women would be encouraged to allow the doctors to sterilize them to keep them from having additional children. Well, that didn't go over well with our women, and so they resisted it. So now here recently in the last few years, another plot against the fertility of our women and the reproductivity of our people has been hatched. And this program is called the birth control implant in the arm. And I recently became aware of it because I'm finding out from some of my students who don't mind talking about these things. I'm interested to know why they feel so lax about talking about these things, that they have these sticks in their arm to keep them from getting pregnant. First of all, they're admitting, which, you know, that's kind of strange that they would, without any shame, admit to a professor that they are trying to keep from getting pregnant by having some stick in their arm that releases hormones into their system that change the menstrual cycle and other things. And the whole purpose, obviously, is that this stick is supposed to keep them from getting pregnant, and the implication is that they're going to have sex and they don't want to get pregnant while they're in college, or maybe even after they've gotten out of college before they get ready to have children. And the sad thing about it is that some of their parents are actually taking their daughters, their college-age daughters, to the doctor and standing there while the doctor puts this, what I call, Frankenstein monster tool in their arms. And the question that I have is, don't they realize that when you play around with nature, that there are going to be consequences, and they're not going to be good consequences? Because from what I'm finding out as I read about this on the internet, on the website of the company that's making these things nowadays, which is called Next Planner. And, you know, that kind of has a play on words, because you can see clearly the key word in there is plan, and then the prefix is next. So it's almost like saying this is the next plan to try to destroy our people by destroying the ability of our women to have children, and also destroying their morals, making them feel comfortable having sex freely and promiscuously outside of marriage. And then there's this other issue, and it talks about the fact that, and I want to read, this is coming from the Next Plan On website. It says, you should not use Next Plan On if you are pregnant or think you may be pregnant or have had blood clots, have liver disease or liver tumor, have unexplained vaginal bleeding, have breast cancer or any other cancer. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory. But it says, are allergic to anything in Next Plan On. Now, the question I have is, are they doing allergy tests on the people to find out in advance if they may be allergic, or are they just giving them this stick without doing anything to find out if they're allergic, when the company that makes the sticks plainly says if you are allergic to anything that's in, take a stick, not to be using it. Then it goes on to say to the women that they should talk to their doctors about using this if they have A, diabetes, high cholesterol, or triglycerides. Now look at it. The diet that most of our young women are eating today that are going to college is filled with cholesterol and triglycerides. How do I know that? Because many of these young women are living on fast food diets. They're going to Chuck E. Cheese. They're going to Checkers. They're going to, I'm not trying to put down these different businesses, I'm just saying where the women are going. You know, they're going to all of these places that serve all this high cholesterol food. And so they already have high triglycerides, probably, and high cholesterol, but they're not looking at that because they're not even reading this information, probably. And then it says if they have headaches, and I know a lot of these students, because they don't get much sleep trying to study all night for these classes they're taking. And then a lot of them have depression because of boyfriend problems or parent problems or school problems. And there's so many things that the website says are danger signs that they seem not even to be thinking about. They just want to get this thing stuck in their arm so they won't get pregnant, not realizing that the byproducts could be fatal. And then it goes on to say, and I'm reading from the website of these people, and it says, the most common side effect, and I hope there are a lot of people listening to this, and that you'll tell your friends, especially who have young daughters that are college age or even high school students, says the most common side effect of this next plan on is a change in your normal menstrual bleeding pattern. In studies, 1 out of 10 women, and my guess is they probably did these studies on white women because that's where they usually put the research money, unless they're trying to population look bad, and then they'll put research into something just for that purpose. But in something like this, since it is heavily used by white women as well, says 1 out of 10 women stop using the implant because of an unfavorable change in their bleeding pattern. And it says you may experience longer or shorter bleeding during your periods or have no bleeding at all. Now, a woman that's not pregnant is supposed to bleed because that's how her body releases those unused eggs, that after that cycle is over, those eggs need to go so brand new fresh eggs can be put there to be able to receive the male sperm if she's going to be pregnant. But not to even be bleeding means that there's going to be a buildup of poisons in our system, because anytime something's supposed to come out of your body and it doesn't come out, the end result is toxicity, poisons. So these are just a few things. And it says that if you become pregnant while using this, and that's another thing, this does not guarantee that women will not get pregnant. It seriously reduces the chance they'll get pregnant, but it doesn't completely 100% guarantee they won't get pregnant. So it says, if you do become pregnant while using this, you have a slightly higher chance that the pregnancy will be occurring, more of a chance that pregnancy will be occurring outside of the womb than women who do not use birth control. And the pregnancies that occur outside of the womb can cause serious internal bleeding, infertility, I mean, that's it. You won't be able to have children ever again, and even death. So that's why we brought up the topic of the genocide, because the people that are selling this, the next plan of people, know that it can kill our women and make them sterile. And then it says, the use of Nexplanon may also increase your chance of serious blood clots, especially if you have other risk factors such as smoking. And it says if you smoke and want to use Nexplanon, you should quit. Now, I don't know a lot of college students that smoke because they can't smoke on our campus, but it's very likely that some of them do smoke and are still using this thing. Then it says, some examples of blood clots are deep vein thrombosis in the legs, clots in the legs, clots in the lungs, clots in the eyes, which I never heard of that before, and strokes in the brain, and heart attack. So it says also cysts may develop on the ovaries, and sometimes surgery is needed to remove them. It says usually they go away without treatment, but sometimes you have to have operation to remove them. Now, if somebody has surgery on their ovaries, that's telling me that they may not be able to get pregnant again because their ovaries may be damaged by the surgery. And then it says, besides changes in menstrual bleeding patterns, other common side effects reported in women using this implant, besides headaches and inflammation of the female organs, is that they may have other viral infections such as the flu, stomach pains, mood swings, nervousness, and depression, back pains, dizziness, and nausea. So now, can you imagine a woman that's on this implant driving down the street and becoming nauseated just out of the clear blue? and getting dizzy, the chance of her having a car accident increase. So when you think about it, and then it goes on to say, I haven't finished. I see some more things. Severe chest pain, shortness of breath, coughing up blood, swelling of the tongue and throat, breathing problems, swallowing problems, even trouble speaking, and pain in your legs. And look, also sudden blindness, partial or complete blindness, loss of appetite, lumps in the breast, problem sleeping, lack of energy, feeling very sad, heavy menstrual bleeding. I mean, you would think a girl must be crazy to be using something with all of these complications possible and more than likely. And yet the problem is that some of these girls' parents, mothers, are actually taking them to the doctor to get this, I call it a stick, to get this implant put in their arm so that they won't get pregnant. In other words, the mother's just giving up on the chance that the child may want to be celibate until she gets married. They just gave up on that idea. They're saying, my daughter's going to go to college, and while she's in college, she's going to have premarital sex. And not even trying to work against that possibility by teaching her better values at home, you know, to wait until she finds the right person that she wants to marry and get married. She's saying, my child is going to go to school and just be having sex, and I need to get this thing stuck in her arm so she won't get pregnant and drop out of school because I want her to graduate from college. But look at what's going to probably happen to her as a result of all this. And the mama probably not even reading this stuff I'm reading to you all. So I'm going to go ahead and close out and turn it over to you, Brother Dr. Ali Mustafa, for your comments on this subject. What do you think about what we've just said?
Well, I want to say it's alarming to hear this, and I'm familiar with the Planned Parenthood as an organization that really has a underhanded plan. They definitely historically have been, you know, the idea of managing people. So they're managing like the population control. And what I see it as an extension of Dr. Kropotkin. For those who are not familiar with Dr. Kropotkin, Kropotkin, he was a guy, scientist from England, that done experiment in the Congo of Africa, in the French Congo of Africa, on monkey blood and created the AIDS. And they took it to New York and this distributed through there. Now, what I'm telling you, I actually saw this documentary on Showtime, and it's been like 10 years ago, but I looked up Dr. Kropotkin, and he's a real person, and he's a medical doctor with the the World Society of Medicine in England, right? And so what I'm just saying is that this is really conspiratory, and we just have been so subtly put to sleep, and we're not standing up for our young people. And I'm a father talking to you here with two daughters, and I've got grandchildren, and I also have worked in law enforcement for a number of years, California, and for years I've worked with a lot of young people, and I've watched them go through the cycle of growth. Now, we know sex is going to happen. There's a natural impulse, but there has to be a way to make it safe and respectable. And the ideas on the television and the magazines and the celebrity superstar women that they advertise as the queens, they're nothing but like girls who are freaky, out of control, and they want to show everything they got to the world so the world can pay her more money so they can act like H-O-E-S. They're not being ladies. They're actually acting like H-O-E-S. And so these young people are being vicariously influenced by that social behavior. And it's getting younger and younger to young children, because I saw one day a young girl at a bus stop, elementary school young lady, and she was doing a Tootsie Roll. It was such an exotic dance. I said, wow, how could a young girl dance a Tootsie Roll and have that kind of control? And as a young girl, and if a man come by and look at this, he'd be trying to take advantage of that. So all of these things we have to start paying attention to. The dancing phenomena. Listen, I like to have fun. But there's dancing, and then there's nasty slut dancing, and there's nasty slut behavior from men. So it's not just a woman who dances dancing like nasty. It's men who dance nasty too. White people, black people. You had a dancer, they go to the parties, and all they start doing is just like having sex on the dance floor. So the Planned Parenthood, basically, you know, they're giving the impression that they're helping society, and they are helping society for those who want to take the people that they most fear of, the people with the dark skin, the melanin, right? Now, we know there's a war against melanin in this country, and it's a quiet, hush-hush conversation. Nobody wants to talk about it. But melanin is a real asset to black people and people of color from the tropic areas. You know, people, Chinese, yellow, Mexican, brown, and Indian red, and black folks, black, and whatever. And white people don't have the melanin in their skin. They have to go and over-tan themselves to try to get the chemical to start growing in them, and that's artificial. But they know that they feel that over time, if they don't start making black people disappear and people of the melanin who hold the melanin power to make people who are non-melanin cease to exist, they will be people that will be forever out of the history books of the world. Because no matter what, they come from the Caucasoid Mountains, the Himalayas, or wherever they come from, in terms of not having the melanin, eventually, you know, they're going to start dying off, because they want, again, to have sex with black men and black women to create babies that are white that they think can fit into their culture. Let me give you an example. There was a Newsweek magazine that featured the idea of how do we white people survive by having babies with melanin, and then we could survive because now there'd be white babies, but there'll be black babies, but we'll raise them as white babies, and they'll be our babies, and they will be our babies, and they will carry on this idea of white supremacy, which basically is that when you have the adoption agencies, they give these black babies to families, and then what I'm saying is a combination of, unfortunately, people wanting these black babies for a number of things. Sometimes there's even some idea of taking and snipping the penis tips off the young men and taking the interferon out of their penis and using it for experiments for how to extend their life. So black people and people of color are really a big experiment for this devil society right now of that is using the scientific gifts of insight against the people that were the original people. So there's more to be said, but I really hope that the mothers and fathers will raise an alarm bell and say this has to end. No longer can we allow racism to end our young people's life because of fear of a black planet and fear of the fact that if a black man has sex with a white woman, the baby's black. If a black woman has sex with a white man, the baby's black. If with a Mexican man, the baby's black. What I'm saying is this: melanin is dominant over non-recessive, non-melanin skin. So that's the argument that I'm seeing here, sir. That's okay. Now I'll stop.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, we have a caller called in, and And we see you on our dashboard from the area code 314 and the last three digits of your phone number, 644. And before we invite you to come on and speak, which we would love for you to do, I'd just like to share something. It won't take but a few minutes. And this actually was something that was written over 50 years ago by a black leader, a prominent black leader. And his name was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he wrote a book that has become a classic called Message to the Black Man in America. And by black man, he actually meant the black man and woman. And in the chapter entitled Plan to Destroy Our Race, he says that Pharaoh, going back to the story of Pharaoh in the Bible, it says Pharaoh began to plan the death of Moses and the future of Israel by killing off the babies. Pharaoh wanted Moses put to death because he was teaching his people the truth of Pharaoh and his government of wickedness. Today, America, what we're talking about, white supremacist America, is afraid of the power our great number presents. Now, right now, according to the latest statistics, the number of African Americans is over 42 million out of approximately 330 some million. But the Hispanic is more than ours. The Hispanic is over 60 million. So that's only one third, and it's growing, of the population of America are melanated people. And that's not even including people from Asia that are flooding into America now. Okay, so the melanated people are overcoming or overtaking the Caucasian people. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, over 50 years ago, he could see this. And he said that America is afraid, that's why supremacist America, is afraid of the power our great number presents. She fears that if we ever unite, we would overnight become become independent. But America desires to keep us a subjected people. So she, therefore, wants to stop our birth as Pharaoh did. The birth control law of today is directed directly at so-called Negroes, not American white people. And the story of Moses and Pharaoh is a warning to you today. They are seeking to destroy our race by birth control, just as Pharaoh sought to stop Moses' people by killing off all the male babies at birth. They are seeking to destroy our race through our women. Do not let them trick you. And finally, I just want to share this. It says that beware of the tricks that the devils are using to instill the idea of a false birth control in their clinics and hospitals. And then it goes on to say, using the birth control law against production of the human beings is a sin that God is against, and for which he will punish the guilty on the day of judgment. Both the Bible and Holy Quran's teaching are against this kind of false birth control, and we should be against it. So that's the reason why we have chosen this topic tonight, because some people may feel that it's good for their nieces and daughters and granddaughters and friends of their, children of their friends who are either going to college or maybe not in college to be getting these implants so they won't get pregnant, without even realizing that if these children or these young people are not into sex, they won't have any chance of getting pregnant. But they're like giving in to the idea that because these people are away from home, they are going to go loose and they're going to be having sex and they need to get these implants, even though some of you may have heard the beginning where we were talking about the dangers, real serious health dangers. And then the other thing that we didn't mention, and I'm going to be finished, is that this does not in any way prevent sexually transmitted diseases. Not at all. I mean, the only thing it does is basically mess the woman's menstrual cycle up so that she won't get pregnant. but it's not going to keep her from getting some type of sexually transmitted disease. So I'm going to be talking some more about this in the future, but we want to hear our caller. If you'd like to come on now and speak to us and give us your opinion, our caller from the 314 area code, the last three digits of your number are 644. You have the mic. Please come on and let us hear your voice.
Well, you know, I think the thing that done black population down in America was abortion, where in 30 years they've killed over 18 million babies in the womb. That was killing them at the rate of 50 an hour. From 1973 through about 2005, 2009, somewhere around in there. So I don't see the American black population doing much of very anything. But you know who is? At the end of this century, one in five human beings on Earth is going to be a Nigerian. Nigeria will surpass China in population in about another 35 years. It would have somewhere between 770 million to 1.2 billion people just in that one country. It would be the second largest population in the world. Lagos would be the largest city in the with over 88 million, followed by Kinshasa in the Congo, close to 85 million, Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. Then fourth would be Mumbai in India. So whites is not going to be no major anything, you know, as time goes on. The thing is that there should be things in place and plans where Nigeria and, you know, the African continent will increase to sub-Saharan Africa will increase to over 4 billion. Things should be in place to make sure that this land mass, these populations, are able to sustain themselves. And that is some of the areas that I'm working in now. Of course, I won't be around 2100. I don't think any of us will. But there's nothing wrong with starting to plan early. And you got to go with the greatest possibility. And that's where those with the know-how, those with the due diligence, the skills, and the talent, I think they should look toward the African continent. Nigeria, for one. Ghana, Ethiopia, the Congo. Those countries are going to have an explosion of population. That many people mean you're going to need food, water, sanitation, and education, skills, medical. It's going to be a lot of millionaires made, if not billionaires made, in sub-Saharan Africa. What's your opinion on that? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, I hadn't really given that any thought because I wasn't aware of those statistics, so I have to do some thinking about it. I don't like to just jump off with no background information that I have actually digested. So since this is new data, I'd probably like to revisit this next week. We can actually plan a show around that very subject. This program, as all of our programs will be archived. And what I'll do during the course of the week is I will listen to your statement again carefully and take some notes and then do some additional research. And usually by Saturday, but sometimes as early as Thursday, I've actually decided on the topic for the show. And since you've kind of given me a heads up that we can talk about this, and I know you'll probably want to participate, I'll probably go ahead and plan for this next week, and then I'll be better prepared to answer. So if you can be patient with me, give me an opportunity, I'll do that for next week. But
yeah,
I do want to
look
mention
at it.
Yeah, I will. I'm very interested in it.
I like to comment, though. I like to comment, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dr. Ali.
I want to say this. Right now, population management, we're doing a poor job here in America. Black folks are. And until we really learn what to do here, I don't think we should try to go nowhere else until we master it here. We have every resource here and every technology here, and to go way over to Africa to do something, and then we haven't done it here, I think it's kind of foolish. So that's my opinion for now, and I do have more to say, but that's just for now. I'll wait for the show to come, because I'm looking forward.
Yeah, well, you know, on that point, you do have blacks here that are doing these things, and they have the skills and talents too. And the obstacles that they present themselves here is not existent over. And, you know, on the continent, you look at Nigerians just here in the United States now, they have the highest education attainment than any other ethnic group, including the Asians. They have a higher household income than even whites do. And I believe these Asians have a higher household income than whites. And I think Nigerians have a higher household income than whites. And they are multi-degreed, multi-talent. So what they're here gaining these skills and taking these skills back to their country, like you see most, not all foreigners that come here with those type of agenda, especially the Indians. So the United States can be looked at as a marketplace. Blacks in these economic markets that they make up, especially in the South, in the cities and states where they're highly populous, like Louisiana, Georgia, Mississippi. Blacks make up like 37% of the population in Mississippi. And you have black populations moving out of California, headed back south. Black populations moving out of the north, the northern seaboard, and moving back south. Those are economic markets that blacks should be controlling. But that's not seemingly what the efforts are. You're right in that aspect. But those who are able, I think that they should look at them. I talk to people and, you know, try to inspire them. And there are a lot of African Americans already in Africa that's doing things. But there's a lot more to be done. I'm talking about out-of-the-box projects. I'm talking about, like, power station, generation station, ammonia plants, the extraction and processing of rare earth materials, water purification, waste. And then, you know, at some point in time, they're going to have to start getting into the manufacture of military weapons, because anytime you build something to sustain yourself, you got to be able to protect yourself, like we see North Korea and Iran in the process of doing. But yeah, maybe you can have a conversation on it in the future.
Yeah, I want to say one other thing. Just one other thing, Professor. Can I say one other thing?
Yes.
What we have to do, we have to start preparing our young people for the eventual input scientifically, technology-wise, other aspects of STEM, and which includes agriculture, et cetera. If we don't prepare the young people so that they can be on the shoulders of what's been happening in the past in this country in terms of how the economics work, how the politics work, how the social sciences work, short of the religion, because that kind of separates us, but spirituality, that's a good one. So if we don't provide the simplicity of the basic things, it's preparing the young people for the stepping stones to the future, where, again, we're foolish people. And I don't care, we shouldn't go nowhere else until we do it here. I'm going to shut up on this one. That's it for tonight on that topic.
Okay, let me just interject. We've only got about 10 minutes left. We're gonna close it out at 10 o'clock Eastern time. But I do want to say something. Number one is... I'm actually a pan-nationalist because I've traveled all over the world. I spent 30 years in military service of the United States, and during that time, I had the opportunity to travel extensively in Europe and the Middle East, as well as Asia and South America and Africa, and I have a real strong affinity to humanity all over the world, even the Europeans that I had a chance to spend time with. who were quite different from many of their descendants here in America, because even though those people are very nationalistic, they're more nationalistic than they are racist, okay? And I guess that's because they're all of the same race, so they don't use race against each other. To some extent in Italy, there's a little bit of racism, maybe more than some people would like to admit, between the Northern Italians and the Southern Italians, but it's not enough to keep them from being one people working together. In fact, in some of the families over there, you'll find the one person will look like a Spaniard and the other person will look like somebody from South America with brown skin, and they'll be in the same family. They'll be brother and sister, husband and wife, and the people don't look at color the way that families over here might look at color if somebody came out brown skin out of a white family. But the point is that I do agree with Dr. Mustafa. I really believe, considering the fact that we started off with a blindfold on, with our hands tied behind our back and with shackles on our feet coming here to America, that we have a lot of backwardness to overcome. We have a lot to overcome that before we can even be as a people. Now, there are significant exceptions, but as a mass of people, we're talking about in excess of 42 million people, a community that large, we need to get ready for having a seat at the international table. There are exceptions, as you mentioned, sir, but in general, our people are not ready to be helping other people as a community. Individually, yes, I helped people when I was overseas just by being in a place where I was defending them. I spent 2 years on the front line in Korea, not during the Korean War, but in the post-Korean conflict years, where we had to maintain a large standing army up there facing the North Korean army. But the point of it is
that North Korean and Chinese both.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I mean, I was up there at the DMZ where I could see the North Koreans, where I could hear their threats on their loudspeakers and hear their guns. But here's my real thing. Since we only have 10 minutes left, and we do have a global audience, you know, we have.
And I want to make a comment before I leave, too.
Yeah, you'll have an opportunity. I just want to complete this one statement that I still think, for the benefit of those who are listening, that we need to become more aware of what is happening with these young black college students and white college students as well. It's not just happening with black kids, it's happening with the white kids, but I'm particularly concerned about what seems to be a insidious, surreptitious, secret move to sterilize and destroy our women through this birth control implant. And you came on a little late. I don't know if you heard us before you came on.
Well,
sir,
I heard you talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, some things that are happening with this in terms of the very destructive health, what I would say risks are just frightening. And the fact that.
But you
women
know what detrimental to those efforts is that women have a right to do those things. You know, a child at 12 years old can have abortion without her parents even knowing about it. And then you have the blowback about men trying to tell women what to do with their body. And I was going to visit this about the education. You know, I think where you get in the problem, all blacks in America are not the same. They don't have the same ideas, same philosophies. They may have similar phenotypical features, but they are different. And I think that's where we get into this, get caught up in this. Yes, there should be things done in the education. One, there needs to be school choice where parents can put their child where they think is best for them in order to achieve the plans and goals that that family have. And I see a lot of children that's stuck in these institutions, these systems, and they really don't belong there. And the parent had the ability to put them where they could get the best out of, because you got a lot of functional homes, and then you got a lot of dysfunctional homes, and you got a lot of functional homes where parents do things that they should be doing. So school choice at the elementary levels through high school would help that child when they go off into higher education, where they can hold their own in those areas. You know, in my profession, I need engineers. I don't have many black structural engineers. We need chemists in order to make the processes that's needed in order for food production. So the National Society of Black Engineers had set a goal to produce 25,000 black engineers a year graduating, but they had to cut back to 10,000. And they may have a difficult time reaching that. So there's a lot of things that can be done. This present administration is highly pro-school choice. And that's one thing that I like about them. But if you don't, like, I mean, the gentleman said it was right. If you don't prepare your children for the rigors that they need in order to be able to sustain and stand up in these areas, that's going to be highly needed, food production and other areas, chemistry and so on, then you're going to be at the mercy of somebody else.
Well, we appreciate your comments. We certainly
I'll try to get in next week if you have a different topic.
Yeah, we'll talk on that topic. As I say, I'm going to review the archived recording of this talk tonight to get a better picture of what you were focusing on earlier, especially what you had said about Nigeria, because I'm just beginning to learn from some of my Nigerian friends about some of the things that are happening over there, not just the political issues, but economic issues and educational things as well. So I want to be better prepared to discuss that situation. But as we close, I do want to comment about something that you said concerning this thing that's our topic tonight, the birth control implants. And you know, you mentioned, and it's true, that yes, these young people have a legal right to do this. And our issue is not about that. Our issue is about the fact that the next plan on people, and probably the Planned Parenthood people, are not telling their parents about all the health risks, the dangerous risks that these implants bring, including permanent infertility and other things, even breast cancer, ovarian cancer. And so even if someone has a right to these different implants, they should go in with their eyes open. I think that many of these young people, and I'm speaking right now about college people because I work at a college, and I'm becoming aware of that. And you may say, well, how do I know? So these girls brag about it. They don't mind sitting in a professor's office and pulling up the sleeve of their blouse and showing that Band-Aid covering that patch. And you look at it like, you know, what was that? And you don't have to ask them. You just look at it just because it's something you hadn't seen before. And they start telling you, yeah, I got this patch, you know, because I have an implant. And you say, implant? And then, okay, then they'll maybe not tell you all about it, but yeah, my mama took me to the doctor to get this implant. And then you look it up on the internet and you find out what it's all about. And you find out this thing could be secretly killing this young girl. And so all I'm saying is that somebody's behind, in my opinion, and it's just an opinion, behind this movement to get these young people implanted with these sticks, I call them, that could bring about all kind of health problems. And again, the real issue is that I think the preachers and I think the teachers, and of course it's illegal to teach morality in the public schools now, it seems, but somebody should be telling these girls that what they really need to be doing when they're pregnant is abstaining from having premarital sex. But it seems like that's an old-fashioned idea, even though it's still in the Bible. It's still in the Quran. I'm sure it's probably still in the Book of Mormon. I'm not really familiar with it, even though I have a copy, but I'm just saying, these religious principles that, in my opinion, are bulwark in the foundation of a God-blessed society, because I just believe in God, and I don't believe he's going to bless us. Society is totally going against whatever he tells people to do. And you don't hear the preachers against it. You know, I look at very few shows of the, mega preachers or TV preachers, and most of the time nowadays, they're just talking about how people can get rich. They're not talking about how they can keep their children from falling into promiscuity. But I'm so, you know, excited about the idea that we can have these conversations. That's really the thing that I did this for about a year ago. We just need to have an open forum where everybody's opinion is valued equally. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong in terms of what they can say. Now, they may be right or wrong in a sense, but they can say, as long as they're respectful to the other people and don't talk when somebody else is talking. And I always say this, and don't say anything that's going to have the FBI knocking at my door, because I'm a 30-year military veteran, retired military veteran, and I don't want to lose my clearances, and I don't want to lose my status with the U.S. government. So I'm not entertaining anything that's going to be subversive or seditious against our government. But I don't think that we should be restricted from criticizing our government if we see that there are things being done by our officials. We should be able to say we should elect somebody else next time because this person is not doing what we need to have done. I think we have a right as Americans to keep doing that. But, you know, I'm like this, you know, I put my life on the line many times at sea and on land for our country. And so I don't want anybody to take the right away from us to speak freely, but I don't want anybody to do anything to dishonor this program by being seditious, I'll call it. But having said that, I want people to feel free to say what you want to say. You know, I'm not going to ever put down anything anybody says on this show. I want people to just tell it like it is, tell it like you feel it is. So with that said, we've reached the magic hour, so we'll give everybody a chance to go around one more time with some closing statements before we wrap up. So we'll go back to you, to Halim, and then we'll give our guest that spoke the last word. So, Dr. Halim Mustafa, what would you like to say?
Yes. I want to say, first of all, this is very good conversation. The depth and breadth in which was expressed, I'm sure there's a lot more to it. It's an iceberg with a lot of depth, all right? Now, we know that, that we need to be totally aware that Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, she put it in the best perspective I could ever think about when she talked about how is the systemic racism in this country acting out its psychosis of wanting to destroy every aspect of Black independence to the point that we remain slaves in a very subtle way and don't even know it. So part of our discussion with these young people's behavior and the parents' lack of leadership in guiding their family to better decisions and the church ministers being themselves victims of ignorance because of whatever they have under their control of the white images, all this is in effect. And that's the part of discussion we must include. That's my last comments.
Okay, thank you. And sir, would you like to give us a final closing comment before we finish the show?
Well, you know, I hear a lot of see protests in, you know, like for instance, the NFL. If you don't provide something for your children, like I said before, all Blacks are not the same. But if you got a Black community that's 80% Black and you got a 100% white police department, that's that community's fault. If your white police officer are acting in a disrespectful behavior with the population in that community, the police are employees. You are the employer. Politics control the police, business control the politics. You should put things in place where your children can come out of high school and be prepared for those jobs, not only the police department, but also the fire department also. When you in Ferguson have a 60, 65, 7% population, and you don't come out to vote to de-elect Mayor Knowles, who had been there for ages, then whose fault is that? You should have got him out of there. So that's why I say that there's a lot of dysfunction. Then there is those who do functional things. And I think that the way should be made for them to have access and move on to the levels that they're seeking. And then at some point in time, you should put things in place and try to correct that which is left where it's at. Because your biggest obstacle of making those type of changes is going to be black folks themselves. Because in your public schools in particular, they make a lot of money, them boards, administrations, and principals and superintendents off of black children. That's all I got to say.
Okay, well, you have had the last word tonight. We appreciate everyone who participated, and we certainly appreciate those who chose to listen via the internet. So thank you so much, and we're going to close out now, and we're just going to give you a light interlude of music as we end our show. Thank you again, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.